Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. I wonder, have you ever used a food pantry toward the end of a long month? Have you noticed the lines of people waiting for a mobile food pantry somewhere in your town? Maybe you're a teacher and you notice that a student can't focus because they're routinely hungry. Have you ever volunteered to work at a food bank or maybe brought your extra garden produce to share with others? We'd really like to hear from you today. On our Hometown Alaska, we're talking about who is hungry in Alaska and how Alaska agencies and nonprofits rise to meet that need. Before I introduce our guests, I invite you to visit Hometown Alaska at www.alaskapublic.org, where you will see links to reports on hunger in Alaska, and you can also make note of upcoming events. We've got the dates on our website, so if you hear something you're interested in here today, you can always tap into it on our website. And also, please give us a call and share your connection to hunger in Alaska, whether you were somebody who needed a safety net or you're someone who's chosen to volunteer and work in this area. We'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 outside of Anchorage. And we can also take your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let me introduce our guests right now. I'm going to start with you, Mike Miller. You're the Executive Director of the Food Bank of Alaska. Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Good. And Stacy Stone, you are the Director of Operations at New Hope on the Last Frontier.
Hi, Kathleen. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's welcome to Hometown Alaska, and thank you. And last but not least, we have Ray Booker, who is a jazz musician who has long worked in this area raising funds with Jazz Fighting Hunger. Did I say that right, Ray?
You got it that time.
Okay, all right.
Good to be here.
I've been messing that up right along. We're going to start, actually, we called this program Who is Hungry in Alaska, so I'm going to sort of circulate around our guests and let them tell us what they know about who is hungry in Alaska. So let's start with you, Stacy.
Tuesdays when we have our food pantry, when I first started, I thought it was going to be a certain group of people, you know, that it's always that group. And I found that it's families, it's children, and it's working poor. It's people that have jobs, mm-hmm. and they don't have enough by the end of the month. There's mm-hmm. more month than there is food.
Mm-hmm.
So the working poor are part of our biggest clientele. We have veterans and disability people.
We're going to talk about some of those misconceptions people have about actually who's tapping into food pantries. They might think it's homeless, or they might think it's a certain kind of individual. But you're saying you see all different kinds of people.
It's all of the above, yes.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? You're in a really executive director position. So what's your take on who's hungry in Alaska?
Yeah, I have to echo what Stacy was saying. You know, across the state in our partners, and we have about 300 partners across the state in different capacities, and that's real consistent with what we're hearing, is that, you know, the stereotypical person, whatever that is, who is using the emergency food network is really families and working, you know, people who at least one person in the home is working or has worked and they're, you know, perhaps transitioning. So it's really people trying to make it from month to month. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not a person who's, you know, consistently, you know, using that as their sole source of food. It's people saying, you know, my dollars aren't stretching.
Yeah. And you're talking not just the urban areas of Alaska, but you're talking, you know, we could be talking villages out there. So it's a broad problem. And the Food Bank of Alaska reaches across the state.
We do. We reach into all the boroughs and census areas in the unorganized boroughs and have partners out there in different capacities.
Let's go to Ray. Ray, you are on the board at the Food Bank of Alaska, but you have also been working in this area for a long time in kind of linking entertainment with sort of helping. So why don't you talk a little bit about that and who's hungry that you know about?
Well, as Mike and Stacy did state, it may be who you don't think type of a thing. Just from my own personal experience, could be your next door neighbor who occasionally does have to use the services of a food bank or a food pantry. From working some of the food pantries, I've seen some friends that I've known for many years pass through the line, mm-hmm. You know, and having that connection. Also from my personal experiences, you know, growing up in rural Louisiana, or Far East Louisiana, as I like to call it, you know, seeing it there. And linking the entertainment with this is just a way of bringing together a diverse group of musicians in a common cause, and I found a ready, willing, and able group of folks to do that. And they've done a wonderful, wonderful job.
And basically, you give a concert and the admission goes to the food? Or how does fighting against jazz fighting hunger?
There you go.
Jazz fighting hunger. Okay, how does that work and how do you make a contribution through that?
The short snapshot is it's a group of folks. Our motto, so to speak, is you know, music for the soul, food for the community.
I like that. Music for the soul, food for the community. Yeah.
And what we do, it's a volunteer group of musicians. I'm the founder, and I kind of keep the cats herded, so to speak. It's all on donation basis from the sound man on up. The project covers the cost of the venue. We've changed our format. We now have a silent auction, reception, and a concert. And I may add, of which I'm just dying to bubble over here.
Oh, you had news, yes.
Yeah, big news.
He has news. Okay, go ahead.
I received a call last Friday from Kansas City from Carmen Bradford, who's the lead vocalist of the Count Basie Orchestra. And she's going to jump on a plane in November and come up and give us a show.
Awesome.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, I was just thrilled.
How did she, did you put the feeler out or did she just hear about it or what, how'd that happen?
I had worked with her and the orchestra. We brought them up for residency in 2012 in the schools. She heard about the project. She and her mom were both interested. She said, if you need me, call me. So I called.
You called. Yeah, you called. Well, I also wanted to give each of you an opportunity to talk a little bit about how this became important work for you. We were ranging from people who actually work in this field to people who volunteer in this area. So, Stacey, tell me a little bit about how this became important enough for you to work in it.
Well, you know, when I was younger, my husband and I didn't make a whole lot of money, and we had a family, but we both had jobs, and we had gone to a food pantry, and it's not in this state. Of course. But we felt very degraded to go in the first place. We were embarrassed because we had jobs and they kind of just pushed food at us. And when our previous executive director said, oh, you know, you should come in and help, I went, oh, okay. And I came in and I loved the way everybody had a choice and they were treated with dignity and they were important. It wasn't a thing about being ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I want to get on board with this. And shortly later, he says, you know, I think you need to be the operations director. You have such a heart for this. So it was kind of lined up.
Yeah.
It was just a natural flow of wanting to reach out.
Yeah.
And give back.
And you, I know, are a pastor. And we talked a little bit before the show that it's actually an issue in your church, too, among your people who attend the church, right? Hunger,
yes,
is an issue you see there, too.
Well, in our, yeah, we have a lot of working poor. We have a lot of single moms. We have grandmothers raising children, and they have partaken a couple times of coming into food pantries or local food, mobile food banks, and then they're giving back. A lot of them come in and volunteer. If they have two cans, they're handing one over saying, here, give this to somebody who needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
even though they don't have a lot, their hearts really do reach out for that.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? How did you are the executive director of Food Bank of Alaska, and not brand new, but a little bit new, right? When did you join them?
I've been here about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my third career. I had a career in the military. I'm retired out of the Air Force. And from there, I transitioned into municipal management. I was a city manager, county manager.
All around Alaska?
No, actually in Lower 48, mm-hmm. Midwest mainly.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to come to Alaska. I ended up transitioning out of the local government, after about 12 years of that. That wasn't enough of the local politics.
I'm done.
But I really had a heart to help people. And so I had transitioned into a not-for-profit. I came up here for another nonprofit, had a great mission, great organization. But when, and I had helped with food and food relief in other capacities, in a volunteer capacity, and Lower 48. So when I saw the Food Bank of Alaska executive director position, I was like, you know, I think I could do that, and I have a heart for it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's a solvable problem. You know, we have the capacity in this country, the food capacity in this country to solve hunger. The question is, do we have the political will and do we have the personal will to make choices that impact those around us? It's in my mind, it's an injustice that, you know, we can have, with the abundance that we have in this country, still have people needing food on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, is an injustice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ray, what about you? I know we talked a little bit before the show about you being a little kid and realizing what was going on in your family. Why don't you tell that story?
Yeah, my experience and how I got here was really just through my own personal experience. I was born in Louisiana and came up to Alaska when I was 5. My father got the military, and there weren't a whole lot of opportunities for an ambitious young black man in Louisiana at that time, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So he and,
struck out for Alaska.
Yep, yeah. He and some other families came up. And, you know, as you grow as a child, like I say, your normal is your normal. But as I grew older, I saw that, okay, just a little different, you know, just noticing some of the choices my parents had to make coming up here, choices of paying rent or doing with a little less food. Sometimes, you know, coming home from school for lunch, you know, you were allowed to actually leave and go home and all that kind of stuff back mm-hmm. then without going through a metal detector.
Yeah.
And going home sometimes, sitting with no lunch and then going back. And, you know, you kind of pretend that you did.
Yeah, sure, I had lunch.
Type of a thing.
Yeah.
And so the experience was a very personal one for me.
Uh-huh.
And as I grew older, it was always in the back of my mind to look for a way to kind of pay it forward and to help folks. So
yeah.
I got together the Jazz Fighting Hunger.
It's been years. I've been to it. What is the history there? How old is it?
1997, September 28th, approximately, 1997 at 7 p.m. when we had our first concert. And like I say, it's a group of musicians. It's all donated. We give 100% of the proceeds to Food mm-hmm. Bank. It began as, okay, you guys go to sleep on Sunday night. We have our concert. We'll wake you up on Monday morning and give you a check. We try not to draw on the resources because hardworking folks there.
Yeah.
And it's been successful, and I'm glad of that. Like I say, once again, from my personal experience as a child and also a trip overseas is what really kicked it in 97.
Oh, where did you go?
I went to India.
Mm.
And walking through Old Delhi, mm-hmm. something else.
Yeah.
It made me realize that maybe even though I had it a little slim at times as a child, nothing like what I saw there.
Yeah.
And I was in a position at that time to go ahead and take the money I was making from playing music and giving it to a good cause. And Food Bank of Alaska was that cause.
Okay. I'm just going to throw out our phone numbers here for our audience. If you've ever worked at a food pantry or you've ever needed to use a food pantry, we talked a little bit about how it can be, you can feel a little ashamed. People feel they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't need this. So if you've had that experience and you want to talk to us a little bit about it, we'd welcome your call. Or just if you've noticed or have questions about maybe how you could contribute maybe food, what kind of food is needed. So give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 outside of Anchorage. Or you can always send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So I know one thing I wanted to explain to people, Mike, I'm looking at Mike, the executive director of the Food Bank of Alaska, is can you give us the overview for the state? Mm-hmm. Food Bank is the gatherer of food, mm-hmm. and then there are distributors of food. And also, how long has Food Bank been doing that mm-hmm. role? So go ahead, jump in.
Sure. Food Bank's been around since 1979. It was a group of very concerned women here in Anchorage who joined together and ultimately did a lot of research and looked at different models and ultimately formed Food Bank of Alaska as a C3. Today, what we do, and this past year, we did about 6.5 million pounds of food across the state.
6.5 million pounds of food, okay.
Right. Just for Food Bank of Alaska. We have other partner agencies across the state, Food Banks and Fairbanks and Kenai and
other major areas
that do their own as well. I think overall in the state, we moved about 9 million pounds last year as a network.
Mm-hmm.
Food Bank Alaska here, we collect food from donators, whether it be grocery recovery, food drives, wholesalers, just individuals who come in off the street and say, hey, I want to donate some food. And we collect that food, and then we distribute it through a network of partners. The donated food primarily goes into the Anchorage, Mat-Su area, just because of the cost of shipping and
So this is the extra zucchinis from my or maybe a produce from a local grocery store that they don't want to lose,
right.
And so they push it forward.
Right. So they'll work with us. All the major retailers are partners of ours. Most of them have exclusive exclusivity in their donating. They always donate through Food Bank of Alaska. We're also a partner on a national level with a group called Feeding America, and we're a member of that network, and they manage a lot of relationships with major retailers for us.
Oh, wow. Like Safeway and that sort of thing?
Cart Safeway.
Walmart?
Fred Meyer's, Walmart, Target.
Costco?
No. Costco is not a major donator. In
I the know they
business.
Do a lot. I'm not trying to make Costco look bad here because I've heard of them contributing in community ways, but I just wondered. Yeah.
They don't donate food. Mm-hmm. So those relationships, we then aggregate that food, you know, bring it together, and then
in your warehouse,
in our warehouse
down
and,
on Ship Creek, right?
Spar Avenue.
And
our partners like New Hope on the Last Frontier, like. The Food Bank of the Mat-Su, any of the food pantries that are in soup kitchens that are our partners, Beans Cafe. So they can come to us and shop that food and not have to have their own truck, not have to have their own pickup staff, their own, and then the poor store manager doesn't have to deal with 75 agencies mm-hmm. coming up and saying, hey, can I have some food?
Right.
So we provide that.
It's like a flow.
Yeah, we provide the flow. We facilitate the flow. We also administer state programs. The emergency food program, which is I'll call it TFAP or the commodity food, we ship that out to about 20, we're about 21 rural communities right now. And oftentimes there's rural communities, though that's the only food assistance that they get.
And now I don't know whether it's awkward to name, but I try to go past the numbers to a circumstance. Is there some, and maybe you don't name the area, but you can give us some idea of how large it is or, you know, and what are the commodities that you're sending out to mm-hmm. these rural?
Well, those commodities are really, they're bought up by the government as a price support for a particular market, like a blueberries or chicken or green beans. And so that commodity, while invaluable to those communities, is really, it's just whatever happens to be growing well that last season.
Right. We have extra.
And you've heard, Governor Parnell asked for a TFAP buy of pink salmon. So the government stepped in and bought some pink salmon.
Right.
That's an example of how it happened. So right now, unfortunately, we were getting lots of good commodities for a while. Now, all of a sudden, it's juice and maybe some berries.
Maybe not enough.
Maybe not enough and not a substantial part
protein,
of a diet.
Maybe.
Right.
Not protein.
Right. So... What
is that about? I don't mean to stop you there,
no.
But is it because the country's been through a recession, our sources are tapped, or why would we be having more juice and berries and not enough chicken or something like that in these?
I don't know what the downstream or the upstream mm-hmm. flow issues are. And mainly it's whatever happens to be going too well in mm-hmm. a particular
okay.
area.
Okay.
Like the major pink salmon catch they had.
In Kotzebue.
Yeah.
That huge. So the state is purchasing some of that?
The state stepped in and asked the federal government.
Federal to purchase it?
To purchase it.
Okay.
And then it gets redistributed to the 50 states.
Right. So it's not that we're going to get our salmon from Kotzebue. Everyone else is going to get our salmon.
Yes. Good for the fishermen.
Yes. Okay. So good. That's kind of helpful. I was trying to imagine, given the geography of our state, it's especially challenging because there's not a road system to a lot of these communities.
Our current board president likes to say we are not the food bank of easy to get to on the road system. We are the food bank of Alaska.
Yeah.
And that creates a lot of challenges. That same program that I was mentioning, TFAP, and that's just one example, we actually have to supplement the dollars that come with the program to ship commodity to many communities.
Because it's air freight is so expensive.
Because air freight is so expensive,
yeah. So.
And we use the wonderful bypass mail system, which is a great asset for these rural communities. If we didn't have bypass, it would be a major tragedy for small communities.
It would dry up the pipeline of some of these foodstuffs, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. So go ahead.
We have other commodities. We do a commodity supplemental food program, which is basically boxes of food for seniors. We work to distribute about 1,600 a month.
In Anchorage?
In Anchorage, the Mat-Su, Homer, Kodiak, I think as far as Wrangell. Again, that's a program that doesn't have a lot of administrative and shipping dollars with it, so we're somewhat limited mm-hmm. by what we
you
can
could
do.
Do more?
We could do more. Won't get into too many details. The state would have to increase our caseload.
Yeah.
But we have the capacity. We have the need in the state. We don't have the caseload, and we don't have the money to to get that food out to those communities.
Now, give me an idea what's in a box for a senior. What would a senior get?
Yeah, that's 28 pounds of nutritionally mixed food, balanced food. It's some fruits, it's some vegetables, it's some pastas, some juice.
Fresh things or canned things?
No, it's all canned things.
And certainly not frozen because you can't, right. So it's going to be canned.
There is some cheese that gets sent out along with it. But yeah, so it's nutrition. They try to nutritionally balance it. You know, there's some tinned meat from that.
Tuna,
mm-hmm. chicken, mm-hmm. you know, those sort of things. So and that's a great supplement for those seniors. And mm-hmm. you know, many of those pantry clients are seniors. You know, and we know our community, our state is graying faster than the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
sad to say,
I see that. Well, we're all graying faster.
Yeah, but anyway, there's a need there that's going to increase, not decrease.
So there are other programs, summer programs. We worked in 47 rural communities this year to ship lunch meals out for kids mm-hmm. In the SFSP program. It's a great summer food service program. Great program. Lots of opportunity for expansion there. The school summer lunches is one of the most underutilized programs in the state. And we're working with the state on how to expand that. I think we're doing about 67,000 meals this summer.
Mm-hmm. So, how does that compare to the school year when people are getting supplemental food at school? And are you part of that?
We are not part of that. Okay. The schools typically run that themselves.
Okay.
But we know that as far as the utilization goes, it's something like only 5% of the kids who are eligible for the school lunches are doing the summer lunches.
Mm-hmm. So it's a big drop-off in summer.
It's a big drop-off. As soon as those school meals go away, those kids are not getting those nutritious meals that they might not otherwise be getting. So we, you know, we see that as a real potential growth area.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to give you a break and pull in Stacy. Let me think. I have a whole lot of questions to ask you about. I thought, Stacy, as someone who works in this area, if someone hears this show and they think, I really want to make a contribution, what's the thing they can do? Can they bring fresh produce to your pantry? What can people do to help?
It works either way. I try to direct people to the Alaska Food Bank.
Do people just pull up all the time? And I'm trying to give you a break, Mike. So I'm looking at you, but I'm not making you answer the question. But Ray might know. I know you're on the board. Please chime in. You know, is it kind of a steady stream of people who want to donate? Especially, I'm thinking of Jeff Lowenfels and his Donate Your Fresh Produce program that he's always talking about this time of year. What's it like at the food bank? What's the flow of donation in? I mean, there's big government programs you have, but then what is coming in from the community?
Well, the government programs, I'm going to jump in on you, Stacey. I'm sorry.
Sorry, we didn't give you much of a rest, did we?
The government programs are actually a smaller percentage of what we're doing. The vast majority of what we're doing, over 60%, 60-some% is donated product.
Wow, 60% mm-hmm. is yeah. donated. Yeah. So I think people probably would have assumed, as I did, clearly, that it was the reverse of that.
And there's a cycle to it. I mean, there's an annual cycle to it. The summertime, through the holiday, between September, which sort of kicks off a lot of food drives, Day of Caring is coming up, and amongst others, that's going to be a real big ramp up, and we're going to have a lot of food, and we'll need it with the holidays. But then starting after the holidays, it starts dropping off, and it bottoms out over summer. Yeah. It bottoms out.
You guys put out a press. I saw your press release in the middle of the summer, noting that there was a need. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, our need over summer is somewhat greater for the school reasons we just talked about a minute ago.
The kids aren't getting their
school meals, so the families have got to provide those meals from their already stretched budgets. And so when the need goes up, the donations drop off. We average about 421,000 pounds a month through the food bank. The donations drop off about, it varies from month to month, but around 80,000 pounds a month, mm-hmm. 60 to 80, depending on the month. And that's, you say, well, that's only, you know, 25%, but that's 25% that isn't going out the door. Mm-hmm. If we had it, we would send it out. Our pantry partners are struggling as well at this time. Alaska's an amazing place with all sorts of wonderful things to do in the summertime, and people do them, and that's myself included. Catch my own fish. But when they're doing that, they're not holding food drives. They're not thinking of donating. They're thinking about having fun, and
so their mind is not on that. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking that typically people think about it around Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And they think, oh, I think I'll volunteer and I'm going to do, because it's a time when they think of abundance and their family has abundance. And but actually, that isn't necessarily the time that you need them.
Yeah, it's not the only time.
And, it's not that you don't need them then, but there's other times that you also need them. Right. Yeah. You know, Stacey, I wanted to ask you, I know what your role is. You're coming from you have a food pantry at your church. So you go to the food bank and you shop for your food pantry. Tell me what is that like? What do you look for? What are the choices like? Do you know what your families want? What's that experience like for you?
Well, the food bank, the pantry is not actually at my church.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. New Hope on the Lost Frontier is
the
whole center.
That's right.
When I go in, I'm looking for canned foods. I'm looking for fresh produce. Anything that I can help families learn how to make healthy meals and how they can take this pound of hamburger and make it last more than one meal for a family of four. So when I go in, I'm looking for quantity because we're serving over 200 people a week. When I went in this morning, and the food bank is really awesome about having whatever they have is out, they let us know. And I went in today and I walked into one room and I walked out with one can. That's all that was left on all the shelves. And it's because it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have to start resourcing quickly to figure out, okay, what can we do for this week? So you try to find another spot that has a food supplement. We're giving recipes now so that people know how to use a can of milk. Instead of just pouring it in their coffee.
I was curious about recipes and what role that might play. I mean, maybe I started thinking about victory gardens and, you know, things that were from other times when the country was strapped for food just nationally. And so I wondered about that, whether recipes and stretching, healthfully.
Well, one lady looked at me a couple weeks ago when they got these awesome zucchinis in at the food bank, and she holds up this huge zucchini and she goes, I can't eat this much bread. What do I do? And I said, okay, come on over here. And
zucchini bread, she
right.
Made. Yeah.
Sorry. And so we've started incorporating some recipes. We've given them a shopping list so they know what we have in our food pantry so they can grab a recipe and say, oh, that sounds good. Then I know what to buy when I walk through.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an education process also. I was finding that people would, instead of taking 2 pounds of ground turkey, which is really good for you, and you can stretch it, they would take the instant pizza because they didn't know how or they didn't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're starting to hook up different clientele that have a stove. Mm-hmm. Hey, can he cook his meat at your house?
Mm-hmm.
And they're making partnerships that way and teaching each other to cook, and then they share the meal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I don't think your average person would be thinking that's going on at a food pantry where actually people are helping each other.
Right.
You know?
Well, we don't want to just be a food outlet. We want to be a place that's a resource for them to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we break that chain of poverty. The whole point is we teach you how to survive and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely need the partnership with the food bank. You know, like you asked me, what do we do with donations? There are people that bring produce into the food pantry. If they have a huge quantity, I say, hey, this is where the food bank is. You need go down there. I'll even take it for you because I want other food pantries to be able to partake in that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do take some donations at the door. But if they have a huge donation, a lot of times I'll refer over.
Yeah, yeah. So. If people are just tuning in, I just want you to know who we're talking with today. Our topic is Who is Hungry in Alaska? And we've been getting a pretty good overview of that. We have Michael Miller, the executive director from Food Bank of Alaska, Stacy Stone, who's the director of operations at New Hope on the Last Frontier, and in addition is a pastor at a local church. So
Anchorage
two different
Free
things.
Methodist, yeah.
Anchorage Free Methodist. And then Ray Booker, you might recognize that name. Ray has been a musician in this town for a long time, and he is the longtime organizer of Jazz Fighting Hunger. And why don't we throw that date out for folks? It's November 9.
Yes, Sunday, November 9. It is not daylight savings time as it was last year.
Mm. Oh, okay. And what's the venue? I wasn't sure. Are you still working on that?
We're going to be at the Anchorage Museum. We'll have a reception and silent auction in the atrium from approximately 6 till 7:30. And then we will have, once again, the wonderful Carmen Bradford with Count Basie Orchestra kicking in and swinging for about an hour and a half.
That's a bit. What's a typical audience you get for that, Ray? I mean, I think people know about it.
Yeah, it's actually quite a diverse audience. I find that the audience that comes to our concerts, it's a good cross-section, of the Anchorage community.
That's great.
You know, harking back to what Mike was speaking of earlier, of the cycles and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, part of our mission is to get the word out to folks and to let them know that this is, it doesn't go away. You know, just right. just because it's Tuesday, you know, August 25th or whatever, you know, the issue of hunger is still there.
Yeah.
And we try to build with people that your $5 ticket, your $20 ticket, or the dollar you leave as you leave the concert, it all matters.
Yeah.
And, you know, letting folks know, you know, we're building this dollar, penny at a time.
Dollar, penny at a
time. And it all matters.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break now. We're going to be back to talk about hunger in Alaska. We're talking about the whole state, not just Anchorage. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and today we are talking about hunger in Alaska. Who's hungry in Alaska? And I want to let you know the guests in the studio are Michael Miller, the Executive Director of Food Bank of Alaska. Stacy Stone is the Director of Operations at New Hope on the Last Frontier. That's actually the outlet for a particular local food pantry. And then Ray Booker is here in the studio with us as well. We should have made you bring an instrument with you, Ray. he is the founder of Jazz Fighting Hunger with many other local musicians, and that event, a fundraiser to help the Food Bank of Alaska, is coming up again on November 9th at the museum with a special guest named
Carmen Bradford of the world-famous Count Basie Orchestra.
Yeah, so that might be something to put on your calendars. Anyway, I was going to go back to you, Mike, and say what's new in this area of food shortage, food insecurity in Alaska? What are the trends? What are you looking at?
Yeah, the trends are unfortunately not good. What our pantry partners and our soup kitchen partners are telling us is that their numbers are really climbing.
Oh, yeah.
Their numbers are going up 20, 30, 50%. You know, places that we're seeing 80 people are now seeing 120. I just had a
pantry. Is this in the last year? Would you say since 2008?
Say since the turn of the year.
Since the that recent,
yeah,
and so 6 months.
It goes back. It really ties back to the reduction in food stamp benefits and the cutoff of long-term unemployment. Those two things. I mean, there's almost a direct correlation.
Let me throw out our numbers just in case people have questions about any of that. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. We're talking about who's hungry in Alaska. 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752. Outside of Anchorage, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Let's pick up with that. Let's remind people, some people who, if this isn't part of their life, they might be oblivious to that. So what happened? Long-term unemployment benefits dropped off in January?
The end of December. In the month before that, the SNAP benefits were reduced. They had increased them temporarily during the
recession.
The economic recession.
Uh-huh.
And so they were cut, I think it was on average like something like $47,
yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a lot unless you don't, if that's all you've got.
Yeah.
And so those two things combined really caused a spike, anecdotally speaking, in our partners. And it's small pantries. I was just talking with someone today. They do a monthly distribution of a small pantry. They were doing like 10 or 12 families a month. Now all of a sudden they're basically doing 24 to 30.
Wow.
So I mean, that's a small pantry, you know, one for that size, but to double for them is huge. That's a double of food budget. It's many, you know, double of things that they're having to deal with. So it's not only stressing us and the food bank, it's also stressing our partners, our pantry partners who are now dealing with half again as many clients. But the clients, you know, they seem to adapt and help each other. But well, Stacy could tell.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that probably people are relying on some of the bounty of the summer of Alaska. You know, maybe that's helping some people get through. But what do you see at the pantry? And how many families do you serve at your pantry generally?
Well, you know, in January, we were doing 80 to 100 people. And that's on one Tuesday. That doesn't include anybody else that walks in needing help or comes in upstairs. We're seeing up to 200 to 250 on a Tuesday now since January.
Wow.
And our resources haven't changed. So we're getting more creative with teaching them how to cook and mm-hmm. giving ideas. But what we're seeing is when there's a shortage at the Alaska Food Bank and donations are down, then their groceries that we can give them for the week have gone down.
Right.
And it starts getting smaller.
It's a direct correlation between what's at the food bank and what you can.
And you have to get a lot more creative. And a lot of them have a hot plate, or they're in a camp, or they're a single mom that doesn't have a lot of time because she works a job.
Yeah.
So her to make a big meal is complicated.
Right.
So we're having to resource a little bit more, which is okay. We're kind of enjoying that part of teaching them to cook, but it's harder for them. They have to give more time to their meals. And that sounds great to us, but if you're working two part-time jobs,
that
gets
really
difficult.
I'm interested, are you actually giving cooking classes? I mean, you know, how does that work out? You said you're handing out recipes.
Yeah, we hand out recipes. We do, like, if we have zucchini and tomatoes and onions, we'll show them how to put those all in a casserole, and you can put in cooked chicken, you know, and then we try to give them chicken so that they have everything to make that meal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll just walk through it with them because they'll come with a zucchini and say, I don't know what to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to cook a meal for
my
family.
There.
Yeah.
I've been there.
You know, yeah. Like I said before, one lady said, I can't make that much zucchini bread.
Yeah.
So we teach her how to bake it for her family so they're getting vitamins, how to make zucchini sticks, and then here's some ranch dressing so your kids can eat vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's we can't do cooking classes per se, mm-hmm. but I have walked through, and then you end up with 15, 20 people around you going, okay, we want to hear this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's important.
Yeah. That's great. I know when I was just kind of scanning the national news about, you know, what some of the things that surprised me, and I don't think we have the data here in Alaska about this, but that military families, that mm-hmm. that was registering in this big study that was just done across the country on food need. Military families, many of them are needing to access food banks. That was kind of a surprise for me because you always think, well, gosh, you're in the military. And mm-hmm. But in fact, you know, depending on where you live or depending on the cost of food in your area, it might not be enough. So that was surprising. Something I think I also know, Mike, State of Alaska, the Food Bank of Alaska, participated in this national study. You give data, is that right?
Yeah, we did. We facilitated the gathering of the data here across the state, and we went to sent staff and volunteers to a pre-selected group, you know, statistically random sampling of pantries and days and numbers of clients to see. And I was actually, I'm not a researcher, but I was pretty impressed by the thoughtfulness and the care that was taken to really gather legitimate data.
And did that go on last year and now you've reported?
That went on last year and the data is just out. And it's good data. It's not as plug and play as the previous version. So we're having to glean through it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we've done that, we're going to be handing out some more of that information,
the
Alaska-specific information.
Right. Because we may find that military families up here are in the same boat. We just don't know. You haven't been able to take a look at the data.
You know, that's right. And I know, you know, personally, when I was a young sergeant with a family, mm-hmm. you know, I needed some. We didn't go to the food pantry, but we were on WIC.
Mm-hmm.
We were a WIC
yep.
family, and we
mm-hmm.
were WIC eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And those programs are a huge help, particularly to the younger troops with those young families.
Yeah, with young families. And the other thing to note here is we have a lot of veterans who mm-hmm. have chosen to make Alaska home, and they would be working with a fixed income probably a lot of times, and maybe struggling with the food costs here. Where would you say Alaska ranks in terms of the cost of food? I mean, some states might be a little bit easier to cope with.
The cost of food is higher here on average, but I don't have the numbers
mm-hmm.
On where we rank. But I know that, for instance, the you know, the cost, the average cost of a meal here is quite a bit higher. Well, if you're trying to fight hunger, you know, by I think it's about $1 per meal higher, and that's significant when you're trying to provide assistance through a pantry or through the food bank or a super.
Yeah, so what kind of food are you getting? I know some of the things I read about the 2014 Feeding America report talked about, you know, families relying on really inexpensive but not very healthy fast food or very filling food that's not exactly healthy. And they had information to show that, you know, people with high blood pressure, they were actually doing some information gathering on the health of the people that were needing food. And so high blood pressure was an example. Diabetes was an example. So the quality of the food that people are getting is an issue, too. I mean, those kinds of expenses, of medical expenses, because you're not able to get the right kind of food.
Well, and just by the nature of that we are Alaska, and that so much of what we have here comes up, you know, via the barge, you know, it's a very finite supply. And you have, and my counterparts in Lower 48 are trying to figure out how can they get a truckload from one state to the next state. And I'm like, I wish I had that problem.
And you're like, how can I get this food into this little airplane?
Exactly. And break it down. You know, get into an air cargo carrier and then break it down into six more Cessna flights to get it out to a rural community where it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah,
different challenges.
Yeah, really. It's very interesting. I'm trying to think of some of the other I know I wanted to talk about the dates. We've talked about, Jazz Fighting Hunger, but there's also a month. The month of September is a significant month, and I sort of don't know exactly why. I know there's a hunger focus. I also think there's a First Friday program coming up October 3rd, I think.
That's going to be the Photo Voice Project.
Tell me about that.
In the boardroom. Yeah, that's a partnership with the Alaska Food Coalition, which is a coalition of hunger-fighting organizations. And they got a small grant from I believe it was the Mountain View Lions, to provide cameras to clients so that they could take pictures of what hunger means to them. And those pictures can be shown. This is, you know, when I think of hunger as a person, you know, as this client, this is what I see, whatever that picture is. And I don't want to presuppose what they might be taking a picture of.
So they're photographs?
They're photographs, and with captions typically, some sort of a descriptor. And it's been used at other places. It's very powerful. And the everyday things that we wouldn't even think about seeing, empty pantries and children's worn shoes and, you know, the different choices that these people are having to make and look at and stare at and be part of their reality every day. It's typically been a very powerful display when it's been used at other places. So I'm excited to see what the clients have got to say.
Yeah, and tell me again, it was the Food Coalition?
The Alaska Food Coalition.
Okay, and that is a group of people, not necessarily the food bank.
We're part of it.
You're part of that food coalition.
It's a coalition of hunger agencies like New Hope and Last Frontier, like Beans Cafe, Downtown Soup Kitchen, and so forth.
And this is clearly a way of trying to spread the message, to try to touch people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we can talk about it in... We're on radio, so we're talking. And as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Right. And numbers don't always equate to a face.
Yeah, I can tell you all sorts of statistics and thousands of pounds and millions of pounds. Yeah. But in reality, there's at the end of the day, there's a person who's hungry, whose child is hungry, who's making those tough choices.
Yes, go ahead.
We actually have one of our clients that's a success story. I won't say her name, but she has participated in this program. And she is seeing hunger from a standpoint of the other side now, because she's giving back. She volunteers. But now she has the camera through the coalition, and she's taking pictures of people. And she says, I never saw hunger from this side. I see it in their eyes.
Oh.
And she's come into my office at church almost in tears, because it's like, these people are really hungry. And she goes, I used to look like that.
Yeah.
So it's given her an awareness. Yeah. And then some of the people that she's taken pictures of actually recognize her.
From when she
was on the streets and she was living in dumpsters, as she put it.
Oh, wow.
So, and now she is success story. She has her own business and she's working with the coalition. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead and jump in, Ray.
Yeah, I like that approach. It brings a reality and a humanness to it. And like I say, you know, from my experiences as growing up and also from working food pantries, I always encourage my friends, okay, you know, please, you know, write us the check, send us in the donation. But I encourage them even more strongly, get in your car, drive down, volunteer at that food pantry. You know, look, there's something that comes out of looking someone in the eye and handing them that food. There's a human connection. Dignity element there that means so much. It's as important or sometimes even more important than the food itself.
Right. We've had clients actually tell us, when I leave, I feel like I matter.
Yes.
And that's our whole goal. You do matter. Mm. And that encourages them to have hope, because the one thing when you're living out of your car, or if you're just not making it paycheck, you don't feel like you have any hope or worth.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can somehow, when we're handing them groceries, say, you know, you have worth, you matter, and we see you,
mm-hmm.
it gives them more encouragement to go and get better jobs, or knowing that they have worth instead of, well, this is all I'm ever going to be.
Right. And just stop, right. You know, the resilience isn't there. And
right.
And
it's a huge spoke.
I'm going to welcome April onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, April.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
I have a question about how the food is being received. Is there any partnership with local companies like restaurants or grocery stores to get more food in the door?
Sure. We're going to push that one over to Mike, who's from Food Bank of Alaska, executive director. We've been talking about partnerships, but this is specific about, you know, is there something you've seen, April, that you're curious about, or you just wonder about this?
I think about the fact that Alaska has more nonprofits than I think any other state, and we're such a vast giving group. And I know that for the nonprofit that I work for, we often will give things after we're done. And I'm wondering if that's not a possibility with grocery stores or restaurants specifically, because they do deal with food that may have a shorter shelf life, that they could donate, that it might not be, they aren't making that special anymore, and so the restaurant can't use that product.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
The food bank could benefit greatly.
Good idea, April. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, we do have relationships with all the major retailers in town. There are a few smaller ones that actually donate directly to various pantries and soup kitchens.
That
And that's great, because those are typically smaller pickups. They're not, you know, they're not.
Don't need the big truck.
And they're not as consistent typically. So there's great relationships that either directly through us or through pantries and soup kitchens. Restaurants is a little more difficult because it's difficult to reuse food that's already been cooked and handled, and typically we don't use that at all. But if they've got commodity that they haven't used, they've got, you know, an extra can of tomato sauce or extra bag
of
lettuce or something like that. Yeah, we definitely, or the soup kitchens and food pantries can use those. Do typically.
Yeah. So there's ways, but if something's been opened maybe, or it's prepared food, you can't actually take that.
Right, because the risk of contamination and getting sick from food poisoning is just too great.
And we also have resources, what we've partnershiped even as a pantry, because, you know, as you go from the main food bank to the pantry, when we, a typical pantry day, at the end of the day, like yesterday, we had an excess of bread. So we call the soup kitchen, we call Beans Cafe and say, hey, you want a shipment, you want some in. And then our volunteers will drive it to them, and they're so grateful because then they hand it out. It's never wasted if we can help it.
Right, right. So April, did that answer your question, or do you have others?
No, that was actually really, I was hoping that there was some way to kind of raise more awareness. But, I know that I would definitely go to a grocery store that was more willing to give to the food bank. I think that would be great. Awareness raiser, because I never thought about the fact that during the summer months people just aren't donating as much.
Yeah.
It would be nice if there was more awareness about that.
Right, right. And really, that's the purpose of the show here today.
Yes.
You know, I didn't know those things either. You might think summer's an abundant time, people can have gardens, there must be, but in fact, not everybody's got the ability to have a garden or those sorts of things. So summertime was actually a lean time in the food bank here this summer.
It is. And in the French produce, although it's so desirable, oftentimes it's difficult to handle. It's difficult to handle for us as the food bank. It's difficult to handle for pantries, and sometimes even for the clients.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking with people with sometimes very, very limited cooling capacity sometimes.
Right.
Within their,
they don't have a fridge.
They don't have a fridge. Oh, they've got a very small one.
Uh-huh.
So it's very short shelf. Like, we run a program called the Mobile Food Pantry. We run about 25 of those a month. And we take the produce, primarily produce, out to certain areas and just distribute it right on the spot with
the mobile food
with
pantry.
Mobile pantry.
Yeah.
So the clients come directly to there.
Yeah.
That's a great program, and we do that to get that stuff out there as fast as possible, because it has a limited shelf life.
Right. I did want to ask you where the food pantry, the mobile food pantries are in Anchorage. There could be some of our listeners who need to know or might be surprised to find out.
Mm-hmm. There's a number they can call, too.
Yes, for sure you can call 211, and they are the resource in Alaska for that. You know, for food, you say, hey, I need food.
Oh, I did not know that. 211.
Yeah, Alaska 211 is the place. We update them all the time with a sheet of different pantries.
So if somebody's hungry, they literally can call 211 and find out where can I go today to get something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So where are they in town? Can you speak to that? Or do they move around?
No, they're typically set. There's, I don't know the exact locations off the top of my head, but there's several in Mountain View. There's a couple in Fairview. There's there's a couple on the south side, Jewel Lake area.
So all over, basically.
Cross Point Church. I think Cross Point Church down on the south side is as far south as we go.
Uh-huh.
And that's a relatively new one. But yeah, so those are the areas that we would hold them. Over in the Muldoon area, there's several.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw our number out one more time, and then I want to go to you, Ray, and ask you, because I know you talked about volunteering, and I'd like to hear what that experience was like. 550-8433 in Anchorage, or 1-888-353-5752 outside of Anchorage, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, Ray, you talked to me a little bit about what it was like to volunteer, and that's something that you do.
Yes, I work through my Rotary Club. We sponsor the second Saturday of each month at the Fairview Rec Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been seeing those lines get longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely seeing an increase, especially in the summer. But that person-to-person contact is, well, there's no substitute for it. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And it's something that sticks with you. You know, like I said, we appreciate everything. Someone buys a ticket to the concert. I love it. But there's a contact that happens when you volunteer at a pantry. On my way here today, I recently moved, and my next-door neighbor and I were chatting briefly, and I mentioned to him, well, I have to go. I'm going to, you know, speak on a program of hunger. He says, gosh, can I volunteer somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately gave him the phone number to the food bank. He said, well, what can I do? And I said, believe me, there is something that you can do.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about that, too, as you were talking. You know, what if someone's listening and they're like, that's something I could do? You know, what does it mean to volunteer? What's the commitment like? Is there a number that you want to toss out here? Mike? Is it or whoever? I don't know.
Yeah, we do, too.
Yeah, we definitely have volunteer needs. You know, we are. If you call us at the food bank, we can definitely connect you with that opportunity.
You send them over to me.
Send them over to
Stacey. Taking all the volunteers.
I'll take all the volunteers I can get.
Yeah. So I mean, it's something we could add to our website. We could put the number down there. But there's a key number. If people do want to volunteer, and I guess what I'm asking is, does that mean that they're going to end up at a pantry, or does it mean they might be unloading at the food bank? What could it mean?
Well, yes. It depends. The food
all
pan-
of the
yeah,
above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're working with the pantries or the soup kitchens, I mean, you're more likely going to be doing direct service, working with folks in need. If you're coming to the food bank, you're going to be working with food.
Yeah.
Because we don't do any direct service. We only work with other agencies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have people to sort food. We have groups that come in and do box builds for the senior boxes that I was speaking about earlier.
Right.
Assembly line.
Sorting.
Sorting food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, not all food comes to us that comes to us is distributable. So we have to sort through the food and say, oh, this is going to go to the pig farmer.
This will be used, but not for people.
This goes to the pantry.
So
those are the opportunities that we have.
Yeah.
So if people typically come in and volunteer with us, they can stock shelves, they can help sort things, and they can be part of the client shopping, which is awesome. They walk around with clients with the cart and help them to choose, and it's a great experience.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to shop with the clients.
Yeah.
And the clients are so grateful, like you're saying, to have that one-on-one contact, and again, it tells them they matter.
Yeah.
It shows them that they are seen.
Yeah.
Somebody sees you, and in your hurt and in your loss, we can help you.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Tuesday is your day at the New Hope on the Last Frontier. Does that mean your entire Tuesday is taken up with that, or what happens on Tuesday?
Well, typically I'll get there like at 8 o'clock. I have people that are outside our door at 2 a.m. waiting in line.
Uh-huh.
And we open the doors early to let people come in. And then at 10:30, we start taking clients through.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1 o'clock, the doors are shut. And we usually have clients until 2, 3, or 4, depending on how busy it is that week.
Wow.
And our volunteers, they just keep going.
Wow.
They're incredible. We have one lady that's 83 years old. And
she's a volunteer?
She's a volunteer, and she's never quit. We have 47 volunteers on our books.
Wow.
And we work with UAA when they have programs. We work with them. So it's very diverse in who can come in, anyone, and we will fit the volunteer position to what they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
We have one lady that walks with two canes. She can't walk with the shoppers. She sorts bags.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she visits, and people mm-hmm. love her.
Yeah. So. And Ray, you talked about through your Rotary, you're volunteering. You've taken on a pantry, is that right?
Yeah. It was started by David Kester in our club, and it's just really a wonderful thing. The club is 100% behind it. We're never at a shortage of Rotary members who show up there. And like I said, the experience is, you know, as Stacy and Mike have both emphasized, that personal contact.
Mm-hmm.
I know with the guys working with me, with the band, when I initially said, hey, we're going to do a whole bunch of rehearsals and we're going to do this concert and we're going to do it for free. Some of them, you know, after about two or three, it's like, well, Ray, you know. What I did was I took them down to the food bank and had them watch what these people do. I have a waiting list now of musicians wanting to get on.
Wow. Tell me, when is the food bank that you work at, and what's that like? I had Stacy kind of describe it, her Tuesday. What's it like when you're doing it? Is it a Saturday? Is it? And I know you said it's at Fairview Rec Center, right?
Yeah, the truck arrives at about 1:30. We run the distribution of food from 2 till 3. You never know what you're going to get until the truck rolls in and we unload.
So you just meet the truck there. You don't drive the truck.
Yeah, uh-huh. The volunteers, the food bank personnel actually bring the truck to us there. And volunteers from the Rotary Club or friends and family, if they want to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people from the high, you know, kids from the high school, et cetera.
In the neighborhood, just step up and help out.
And people come through. We distribute food as we can. Mm-hmm. And there's a second pass through if there is enough food.
But. Yeah. I wanted to remind folks about a couple of dates that are coming up. The month of September is, what's it called exactly?
Hunger Action Month.
Hunger Action Month. And is that a call to action? And is it a food gathering mission that is highlighted in that month or what?
Food gathering is part of it. I mean, the United Way's Day of Care is part of that. That's on the 12th of September, and that's a huge community food drive, and people can bring their food to the Food Bank of Alaska. Many companies in town participate in that. We also have the 4th of September, which is Hunger Action Day. It's Go Orange for Hunger Day.
Say it again. Go Orange.
Go Orange. Orange.
So wear orange.
Orange is the color of hunger.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And Go Orange. And actually, if you send us your Go Orange pictures, we'll
Post them on Facebook,
which is, by the way, if I don't say this, my development director will not let me back
in
the office.
You won't be able to go back in the office.
If I don't say, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, like us on Facebook.
Yes.
Same with New Hope.
Yeah. All right. You heard it here.
And there's a whole calendar out on our website at www.foodbankofalaska.org, all spelled out.
Yeah.
And a whole calendar out there of something going on every day.
Yeah. Okay. And we November 9th at the mm-hmm. museum is the Jazz Fighting Hunger.
Yes,
concert
it is.
And silent auction, and there's one other thing in there.
Silent auction reception and a wonderful concert.
And a wonderful concert, nice. And there's a First Friday at the boardroom where photographs taken by people who are hungry.
October 3rd,
probably 5 to 7, something like that.
Yes, Hunger Action Month is extending into October this year.
Okay, all right. So that's great. Well, I really. I've been fortunate in my life, and that's why I'm really glad to have this show. And I don't have that personal experience, and it makes a difference when you talk to people who have. So I want to thank our guests for coming on today to talk about Who's Hungry in Alaska. We had Michael Miller, Executive Director of Food Bank of Alaska, Stacy Stone, Director of Operations at New Hope on the Last Frontier, Ray Booker, a jazz musician working with Jazz Fighting Hunger. Next week on Hometown Alaska, Charles Wolforth is back as your host, talking about spies and counter spies working in Alaska during the Cold War. Time to a Cold War conference here in Anchorage. Please connect with us on Facebook, just like you, Mike, we do, and follow us on Twitter at alaskapublic.org. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Dave Waldron was our engineer today. Thanks so much for joining us on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.